Please take your Bibles and turn with me. Once again to Acts chapter 16. Wonderful part of this scripture. We're going to begin up in the 19th verse. We have gotten ourselves down to verse 23 and 24, but we're going to read the full message here so that we can understand what's been happening. Acts chapter 16, beginning to read with verse 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." The multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and every one's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. What a beautiful, beautiful story. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come into your house and we can hear your precious word together. We can study your precious word. We can fellowship over it. But Father, please, just to read your word without your presence is vain. We must have your power and presence here, that you can touch every heart that's here, that their heart will be opened up to receive your precious word, first of all for salvation. As we go through this wonderful story of Paul and Silas and praying and singing praises, and then the result was the jailer and his family were saved. What a wonderful, wonderful day. Every day is a wonderful day to serve and praise you, but it's a very special day, Father, when there's one more soul that gives up their way of the world and accepts you as their Lord and Savior. So please today, bring them to your cross that you died upon, took all their sins away, and set them free from the bondage of sin and give them life. Let them live and enjoy this life and awaiting the one to come to spend eternity with you. Now please, dear Father, speak to all of our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As the world, we know that if you want to really find the source of the problem, as we have said many times, follow the money. And that's what went on here, because when the devil lost the soul of this woman, at least temporarily anyway, and the demons were cast out, the first comment and the first concern was that I'm losing money. And so they had to come up with a story. They had to come up with some lies that these men are causing all kinds of havoc across the city. It's just all kinds of turmoil. Well, according to the Word of God, it was one lady, demons cast out, and the owners of that lady were the ones that was upset. But it didn't take long that it grew from just the couple that were upset about losing money. And then they brought it to the rulers, to the magistrates. And it wasn't long then that they also got the crowd outside stirred up. And so now we have a mob. And as today, we find that the mob usually rules. And that the rulers, the legislators, the governors, whoever it might be in our day, they seem to cow down to those kinds of nonsense, even though it's built on lies and the protesters don't even know what they're protesting. I'm sure it was exactly the same way today. In this day, they started and they heard it, and the mob grew and grew, and the magistrates, they surrendered to what Paul and to what the magistrates surrendered to what the mob wanted, and that was they wanted the heads of Paul and Silas. And so now they've brought them in. And we know that the first step, and it doesn't mean, you know, we should have a trial here. Well, they didn't have a trial. They just took them right straight out, and it seems, and we follow this with Paul many times, they find no problem, so let's beat him, and then we'll let him go. Well, in this case, they beat him with many stripes, the Scripture tells us. Now, the Jews... And Paul makes note of that he had been beaten many times, laid 40 stripes upon him, minus one, 39. And in 2 Corinthians 11:24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Now that was the Jews. But the Romans, they didn't have a rule or a law. They just would whip you, and it was with a type like the Lord Jesus. There was pottery clamped upon the bottom of the whip, and when they would lay that upon you, and if you'll notice, the Scripture said that they had rent their clothes, they took their clothes off of them, so they had a bare back and bare legs. And they would whip them, and every time you'd yank back with that, it would pull some flesh back again. And just rip them open, a bloody body is what you would have. And so how many times did this happen to Paul and Silas? For no reason, we're not told. Not that the courts decided they were guilty, it's that the mob decided they were guilty and the magistrates surrendered to their will. And so now we come to the next step and the next stage here. They've laid many stripes upon them, and now they cast them into the prison. And so casting them into the prison, they are put into the inner prison, the Scripture tells us. And also Paul makes mention that the Romans in 2 Corinthians 11:23, that they stripes be above measure, it says. With the Jews, it says 40 minus 1. But with the Romans, it says stripes without measure is how Paul says. Tells us. And so now we've come, they have been beaten, Paul and Silas both, with these whips, beat them, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And so, again, not following the law, not following anything other than the mob, they are turned not only now and put into prison, into the inner dwellings of this jail. Different than today. Today, why they have the bathroom facilities, they have a bed. Here, they were put into this inner prison, which would be the lower part. Dark, no light. They were also put in stocks. Now, stocks always meant of the feet, but sometimes it even meant with the hands. And here we're not told, it just said put into stocks. And so that meant they could not even move around the room in the in the lower inner part of the prison. So here we have Paul and Silas beaten with the whip, taken now and put into jail unjustly, charged with nothing, cast demons out of a lady. You'd think that surely someone would be pleased when these demons would leave this lady. Instead of that, because it meant the fortune telling, and it made, she must have been really possessed with the devil, because she must have brought them a lot of money in to get them so stirred up in this manner. We have them beaten, we have them thrown into the inner jail, and we have them put them into stocks. And so with this in mind now, the inner prison is the place for the public enemy number one. I mean, that's where they put the worst of the enemies, the murderers, those that would commit the most heinous crimes. That's where they were put. For what reason? For no reason at all. No trial was held, nothing. And yet they were put into that inner prison, put into stocks. These stocks were made of wood, and again, they're hands and arm and legs, but definitely their legs to where they could go nowhere. What a most uncomfortable position to be in. And they have no food, and they have no water. And so as we look and begin to start the text today in verse 25, and find at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Now let's look at the condition that these men were in. They had been beaten, they had been bound, they were bleeding, it was cold, it was dark, and they had no food and no water. That's the condition that they were in. And if you want to add to it, I'm sure that there were varmints included down in this lower pit with bugs and snakes and all kinds of things that would have been down in that inner prison. A place of torment, a place that a person would call hell on earth. And yet we find Paul and Silas doing something amazing here. There's not one single mention of complaining. We have them saying first, the first item that's listed here is prayer. And so as Paul and Silas begin to pray, was their prayer, please bring us comfort? The prayer that I want judgment upon those that has unjustly done this upon us? Is their prayer that I want to be released? It has all appearance that this prayer is one, and that is, God, we want your will. Whatever your will is, that's what we want. It'd be awful hard for me, and I'm sure for you, not to be praying selfishly or praying vengeance upon those that has done this. But there's no mention of that. The only mention we have here is that they have prayed and they sang unto the Lord. So we have two things. We have the prayer first. No matter what the condition, no matter what the location, we can always pray. There will be strength and wisdom and mercy given to us if we'll realize that and recognize it under any circumstances, any situation. You know, God has bound man, but he has not bound God. God is still accessible. Even though there was no other man could get into such a place to see Paul and Silas, God can be there. And God was there. And so as we find, and then to sing, and not just to sing, they sang aloud. And I'm sure they prayed aloud, because we're told that because all the other prisoners heard them. They heard them as they prayed. Were they praying for those other prisoners? Did they pray, please, Lord, that through our being here, that those that can hear our words will come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Please, Lord, forgive the magistrates. Please, Lord, forgive those in that mob that has brought us to this point. Please forgive those Roman soldiers that ripped our skin apart. Lord, please forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They need you. And see, we get so self-centered and selfish, and we look at the circumstances, and we get angry, and we get mad, instead of asking our God to forgive them and to save them. We're not told what Paul and Silas said. But these words here, I believe, tell us that they're words of praise. Sing praises unto God. Prayed and sang praises. Sang praises. So after they finished praying, and then they'd sing a while, and then they'd pray a while, and then they'd sing a while. Did they wait till midnight to start praying and singing? No. I think from the time they were put in there, they begin to pray and to sing. But by midnight, God a lot of times wants to see, are we going to stay faithful under any conditions? Plus, these men had to be there long enough for the prisoners to hear. The rest of the prisoners had to hear this message. And so sometimes when God puts us into a strange place, a place that is uncomfortable, and a place where we wonder why we're there, the reason that we're there is because God's got a work to do. And he sent us as the messenger to do it. And so don't begin to complain. Just ask God, what would you like me to do? I sure thank you for being a servant of yours. Use me, dear Lord. Send me wherever you want me to go. Paul and Silas had such a heart. And they were praying and they were singing. And about that time, suddenly, the scripture tells us, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Now, there are some miracles involved in this. Not only did the prisoners hear this singing, because they did it aloud, and I am sure that the talk within these other prisoners was the talk of, I wonder what they have done. Look at what has happened to these two men. Are they murderers? What have they done that's so evil that got them into the inner prison? And what have they done to deserve such stripes that they have been beaten with? And I'm sure that would be the conversation of the prisoners. But that conversation, I'm sure, began to change when the prayer and the singing began. And all of a sudden, they're wondering, how can these men do such a thing? How can they sing praises? How can they pray to a God that would put them in such a situation? You see, all the time, the Spirit of God is working on these prisoners through the testimony and the witness of Paul and Silas. Now here comes this earthquake. It says great earthquake. What happens during an earthquake? Walls come tumbling down. Ceilings, roofs, people are killed. People are injured. People are caught between the foundation and the house. It's common on the news. Somewhere around the world, there's been an earthquake. And they show the pictures. And the buildings sometimes are leveled. And many, sometimes hundreds and thousands of people have died. But you see, this earthquake had its purpose. And so we could call this earthquake a miracle. Because this earthquake did several things. It jarred all the doors open. It did not fall. Who's in the inner prison? Paul and Silas. Who's going to die during an earthquake? Paul and Silas. They had no hope of getting out of that dungeon with an earthquake. Except for this is God's earthquake. It's God's plan. God put them there for a purpose. The only way they was going to reach this jailer was to put them in prison. What words did they scream when they were being beaten? Probably not a word, other than maybe praise God. That touched the hearts. And see, it's our witness. It's our testimony. When we're going through the trials and the tribulation, that's what makes the difference. When things are real good, everybody can praise God. Everybody thanks God. Everybody mentions the name of Jesus. But when things just don't seem like they can be any worse, and you're still praising God, you're God, why would you do such a thing? Because God's got a purpose for you and for me. So when we go down through that dark valley, please be looking up and be asking the Lord, give me the strength I need to say what I need to say and do what I need to say and do, because it's so important that your will is done. That was Paul and Silas. So not only did Paul and Silas live through this earthquake, but also every door was opened and all the stocks fell off. Now, why would the stocks fall off? I mean, you can see as the building is jarred a little bit that maybe one or two of the doors might be ajar, be opened up just a little bit. But how can these stocks fall off of you? There's no reason for them to be moved. They could jar them and move them. Don't you think the prisoners try to get out of the stocks? And yet an earthquake? So you see, we've got several miracles here. We've got a building that's still standing. Just shook it. Doors are opened. Another miracle. Another miracle. Stocks are fallen from you. And so we find that here in verse 26. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Now, how would we look at this? Would we look at this, oh God, you're going to kill us down here? Or would we say, Lord, what are you going to do next? You see, when your mind and your heart set upon the Lord, you know everything that's coming is good. Oh, you might have this trouble or this trial, but it's good. Seek the will of God. Seek His way and seek His voice. Find out what He wants for you to do. And so all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And so the next comes, and that is the keeper, the jailer. He was awakened out of his sleep. This earthquake shook him out of bed. He was awakened. First thing he saw, the doors were opened. That's the first thing. The first thing that he witnessed was the doors were opened. Seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword, his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. How could two men keep all the prisoners there? Two men can't. You see, the jailer thought he could sleep, because he put these two men in the inner prison, locked the door, put stocks upon them, and all this, surely, now I can go and have a good night's sleep. These two are going nowhere. But you see, the jailer, he didn't add quite right, because all he looked at was Paul plus Silas plus God. And he forgot, didn't take into consideration the third person in this equation. And that's God's plan. Man can't stop God's plan. God uses many times many things of nature, like this earthquake. Shake the foundation, open the doors, drop the stocks off, and then give the power to keep all the prisoners in the jail. We have no mention whether these other prisoners got saved. We don't know. Is that why they stayed? Or they tried to run out an open door and couldn't? You know, Peter, he had the ability to, they put him in jail, and angel come and opened the door, and he walked out of the jail. There could be an angel standing right there and not let one single prisoner out. We're not sure how they're kept, but we know they're kept. And so we have all those miracles. We have the miracle of the earthquake, the building not collapsing and killing everyone. We have the miracle of the open doors. We have the miracle of the stocks being fallen from their hands and from their feet. And now we have the miracle of all the prisoners are there. What was the first thought that the jailer had? They're all gone. He supposed they were all gone. Now that word supposed there in the old Webster dictionary means as an opinion entertained without a positive knowledge. Now how many times do you say, well, I suppose so? That means you have no foundation what you're talking about. Next time you use that word, why, you'll think about it, won't you? When you start to say, well, I suppose that'd be fine. Well, don't suppose anything. And don't suppose that you're saved. Don't suppose that you have salvation. Because if you would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will know. Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. You will know. And so if you wonder today, if you suppose today, as this jailer supposed that everybody was gone, and if you suppose today that you possess salvation, but you don't really know, then you better ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. Because when you truly, when the Spirit of God touches your heart, and you ask Him to come in and save you, you will know. There's no supposing to it. You will know. So please today, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If it had not been for Paul crying out with a loud voice, do thyself no harm, for we are all here, just upon the supposition, supposing they were gone, he was going to kill himself because they would have taken out and killed him because he lost these prisoners. When it says they put him in charge, that means that he was responsible for them. You lose them, you lose your life. So he knew what was going to happen. He would prefer to take his own life versus facing what the Romans would do to him for losing these. So he supposed they were gone. Well, they weren't. Once again, the jailer knew he could sleep because inner prison, in the stocks, all the doors are locked. I can get a good night's sleep. But he forgot one person that's involved in this. There was a purpose and a reason for all this. God had a plan, and that plan was to bring salvation to the jailer and his family. His plan was that all these prisoners that could hear them singing and praying, that they would hear those words and that they would be saved themselves. That's God's plan, even under such situation and such circumstances. Paul cried out, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. And so verse 29, then he called for a light. It was dark down there. And he sprang in. He didn't say, give me a light and let's go see. This man was excited. This man's blood pressure was up. This man's pulse was beating. And he jumped in there just as fast as he could with that light to see whether what Paul said was right. Because this meant life for him. Called for a light, sprang in, came trembling. If Paul's words are right, my life is saved. If God's words are right, I can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is God's word right? Yes, it is. Is Paul's word right? All the prisoners are here? Most certainly. And that meant life for this jailer. His physical life would be spared. He came down and trembling and fell down at Paul and Silas' feet. And he brought them out of the inner prison. And look at the question that come. He was asleep. The other prisoners heard Paul and Silas singing. Now, we don't know whether the jailer might have heard it before he went to sleep. Where did he get this information, this wondering, what shall I do to be saved? Because he said, what must I do to be saved? He wanted to know. Trembling, fell down at the feet of Paul and Silas. Tell me. And what was those precious, simple words? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. That's all you need to do. Now look at what went on next here. The question come right up front. The statement of truth came next from Paul and Silas. But then verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. They were saved because they heard the word of God. The house wasn't saved. The children, the servants, whoever may have been in the house, they weren't saved because the jailer was saved. They were saved because they made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, asking them to come into their hearts and save them. Please do the same today. They spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Victory. All came about the miracles that God worked here. Remember, we're still kind of in the time of transition here. Right now, God's not going to shake this building. He could do it if he wanted to. But right now what he has, we have the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is here to convict your heart, to show you're a lost sinner and you need salvation. No greater miracle. We talked about the miracles of the earthquake, the miracles the doors were open, the miracles that the stocks fell off, the miracle that the prisoners were still there. That's nothing compared with the single miracle of salvation when you come by faith to Jesus. There's the miracle. Trust in Jesus today and be saved. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank and praise you that we can come into your presence today. You tell us where two or more are gathered, that you'll be there. You're here today. Sweet, sweet Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to proclaim your word, to fellowship over your word, the Sunday school class, the studies during that time, the wonderful fellowship that we've had in hymns and singing, and now, dear Father, that we've come together and spoke of your word and fellowshiped over your word. I just ask that you'll touch every single heart, all of our hearts here today. Touch our hearts. Move us, Father. Move us closer to you. If lost, bring salvation into our hearts today. What'd this jailer say? What must I do to be saved? What'd they say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, please, just touch every heart today. Thank you for this opportunity. Please bless us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.